as candidate, and now President-elect Barack Obama makes no secret of his desire to close the prison camp at Cuba's Guantanamo Bay. This week, it's reported that he may issue an executive order to close the controversial facility as soon as he takes office. But that does not mean it will actually close anytime soon. Among the challenges, what to do with some 250 detainees held in U.S. custody, including men believed responsible for planning the attacks on 9/11. If you have questions about the problems and proposed solutions, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. NPR's Jackie Northam has been following this story, and she joins us here in Studio 38. Jackie, always nice to have you on Talk.
Hello, Neil.
And these men are held in preventive detention, which many believe to be a violation of the Constitution and international law. Some have been subjected to aggressive interrogation, including waterboarding, which many believe is torture, again, a violation of U.S. and international law. Many believe those 250 also include some very dangerous men who simply cannot be allowed out of custody. So what are the options here?
Oh, boy, they're varied as the men are themselves. I think it's important to understand that you have three distinct types of groups of men at Guantanamo. You have the about a third of them, actually, who have been cleared for release for all intents and purposes. The U.S. no longer considers them a threat to the U.S. or to its allies. The problem is nobody wants them. Not surprisingly, they've been called the worst of the worst. And it's hoped that when the Obama administration comes in, that there's going to be all this international goodwill that goes along with it. Perhaps some of the other countries will step up to the plate, although that was quashed just this past weekend or about a week and a half ago when Australia decided they weren't going to do it after all. Then you got the second group, and this would include, as you suggested, the people who are believed to plan 9/11. You got your Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Ramzi bin al-Sheib. It's about a third of the population, about 80 men, and they do have enough evidence to try these men. Now, one of the first things that it's believed Mr. Obama is going to do is probably just stop these military commissions, these tribunals that have been going on. That begs the question, how do you try these men now, and under what system do you try them, whether it's the federal courts, military courts, martial, that type of thing. Then you have this third and last group, which is really, really the difficult one. And these are the people who they do not have enough evidence against, and yet they don't want to let them go. The intelligence is overwhelming, according to U.S. officials, that these men are extremely dangerous. You never want to let them go. At the same time, they don't have evidence. And this is where you're talking about preventative detention. And this is what the Obama administration is really going to have to try and tackle. What do you do with these men?
And where do you do it? If not Guantanamo Bay, where else?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? You know, the consensus has always sort of been, let's bring them back onto American soil and try them or hold them, whatever the case may be. And, you know, officials that I've talked to within the administration, very high-ranking officials who have been dealing with this, have told me that there is just something akin to outrage and anger when they go into these communities, whether it's, you know, where the military detention centers are, such as Leavenworth or Charleston or that, not in our backyard, you are not bringing them here. The same sort of goes for places like Supermax in Colorado, civilian prisons. First of all, there's not enough beds, and secondly, it's the same sort of reaction that they're getting. You know, they tried to pass this sort of thing, or they floated this through the Senate probably about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, overwhelmingly rejected. So where do you put these people? Now, Mr. Obama may have to spend some of his domestic political capital and do that, but there's just also this sense, Neil, that you just don't want to pick up Guantanamo and, you know, clunk it down in the middle of Kansas or something like that, too. It's not the place, Guantanamo, it's the policies, and this is what's really going to have to be sorted out, and it is not easy because a lot of these policies were put into place for a reason.
And you said that the new president, would right. stop the military commissions, and some people said then you have no choice. You've got these men in custody. Either you charge them mm-hmm. and convict them in a regular federal court, and if they're found not guilty, you take your chances.
Right. Well, one of the problems, though, with that, and this can be rectified, is that, you know, some of the key statutes that we have now were not on the books in 2001 when these men were picked up. So, in other words, nowadays, if you go to Afghanistan and go out and you're caught, you know, at a Taliban training camp or something like that, you know, they've got you, and they've got you good. But that wasn't the case back then. And so they're going to have to kind of work that out. That's one of the things. You know, there's also this talk being floated. You hear it increasingly. It's talking about setting up national security courts. And so this is where they would be able to, you know, it would require legislation, but they would be able to, you know, deal with things that have more latitude for classified information, hearsay information, and that. The problem with that is it sounds an awful lot like what they got going in Guantanamo right now. The third option, of course, course, is these military courts martial as well. People say they can just tinker with it a little bit so it would allow to prosecute unlawful enemy combatants. There, you know, on this aspect, how are we going to try these people? There is really no consensus. And from what I understand, everybody I've talked to a lot of people, the Obama transition team is pulling at everybody and his brother to ask them, what should we do about this? And they have made some movement. But from what I understand, there's no real fresh thinking. It's more like, what are we going to do with this mess that we've been handed?
Is there a possibility of relief under the Geneva Conventions to declare these men prisoners of war? Representatives of an organization which is still at war with the United States under the Geneva Conventions. You can continue to hold them as long as you give them a soccer field and things like that.
You know, that could be an option. That probably is one of the things that is being explored right now, and that would really be unwinding everything that you're looking at, because I understand from doing that you would have had to do that right when you picked up these men. But yeah, that could be an option. That might be something that they're exploring as well. But that I don't hear as much about. And I've talked to a lot of people, as I said, over the past few months about this.
So if they're going to be tried, unless there's going to be some sort of special new law, and that would have to be approved by Congress as well, and no small controversies there. If they're going to be tried in just federal court, you can imagine a lawyer saying, Your Honor, my client has been held in preventive detention for the last 7 years. Give me relief. The government is horribly misbehaved. Drop all charges.
Yeah, give me relief. My client has been tortured, or, you know, harsh interrogation techniques. You know, when you talk about these courts as well, it goes back to that third group that I was talking about as well, the people that they don't have the evidence against, and that type of thing. And, you know, some great minds I've talked to, you know, both military and legal people, and that are saying we might just have to run the risk of acquittal and, you know, put these people through federal courts. Because it really goes against the grain of what the U.S. stands for, what it likes to think it stands for, and that type of thing, of this preventive detention. Then you've got to, you know, what do you do if these people are acquitted? If you can't deport them because nobody wants them, do you still detain them? Do you let them walk out the front door? I mean, these are all the really far-reaching problems that they're having to deal with right now.
And as you know, there are officials who say, look, some of the people we've released already have returned to the battlefield to fight American troops.
Well, that's very true. And the Pentagon came out again today and they said, I think the number was over 60 now, 61 or something like that. I mean, they've always just said there's been just over a dozen of people who they can actually name. They've either been captured again or killed, and they've got that. Whenever you push them any past that, you know, that sort of initial 12, you just don't get any information. They say it's all national security concerns and everything else like that. I have to tell you, Neil, because I've done work on this too, the majority of the people have studied this, the majority of the people that they've released, they've gone back home and just tried to put all this behind them. You know.
Do we know what happened to Osama bin Laden's driver, the man who was convicted in the first of those tribunals,
Hamdan,
sent to Yemen to finish out his sentence?
No, he is finishing out his sentence. He should be released, you know, shortly. Everything else like that. You know, this is one of those things. You know, if you release these people, what happens to them? And you look at somebody like David Hicks, who was the first one that was released, the first one who went through the court proceedings too. He's now released. He's walking the streets. He's apparently going to write a book and that type of thing as well. But they just, you know, there hasn't, you know, they've just gone to try to get back to their own lives and pick up the pieces of their lives.
And the question still remains also, not just this group of people, but there may be others in the future.
Well, this is what's really interesting. I mean, they're talking about what they're going to do with policy. And you have to sort of figure out, are they just going to do that for the Guantanamo people, or are they looking forward and reaching it out? In other words, anybody that they perhaps pick up in Pakistan now, Afghanistan now, Somalia now, these detention policies have to matter. I mean, you've got hundreds of people, frankly, sitting in Bagram in detention in Afghanistan. And a lot of these people are being held in preventive detention as well. So whatever the policies they set up here, you know, the question becomes, is it just for the Guantanamo? Is it for U.S. detention policies in this so-called war on terror? Because it probably isn't going to go away at this point.
Now, let's see if we get a caller on the line. This is Jim, and Jim's with us from Harrison is that Alaska or Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Arkansas, I know, is one of those places.
Well, I just was trying to understand the comment about the third that we don't seem to have quite enough evidence on, but they can't seem to go back to the country from whence they came, and I'm trying to figure out how that can be. I mean, how does a country say, sorry, we don't want that guy back, he's yours now, because we don't want them either.
Okay, we're kind of mixing. There's two things. There's this group that the U.S. wants to get rid of, they're trying to get rid of, and countries do not want them back. Sometimes these people left their home countries, let's say an Algerian, because he was persecuted. So the U.S. will not send them back, or the Chinese Uyghurs, they're not going to send them back.
Because they would be persecuted once they got home.
Absolutely, yeah. There's also a group of detainees that have been trying to fight their repatriation as well, because they were tried in their courts in their home countries, and they don't want to go to jail in their home countries. But it was this other group that you were talking about. I think it got it mixed up a bit. This is this group that there's not enough evidence on, and yet they don't want to let them go. It's the U.S., it's the intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, Justice, who do not want to let these people go, and yet they don't have enough evidence to try them. So it's not that they're trying to get rid of them, and if not anything else, they want to keep them. They say they're too dangerous to let go, but they don't have what it takes to prosecute them.
Well, and you're right. I may have mixed up the group. I guess I'm still thinking about the third that are from somewhere, but you're talking about persecution. Now, if I think I'm going to be persecuted, I'm the one that doesn't want to go back. It's not my country doesn't want me back.
The U.S. has been very careful with this, is that they do not want to send them back to a place that, it's the U.S. that decides that, frankly.
Okay. And it does sound counterintuitive. They're being held at Guantanamo Bay, perhaps the most notorious prison on the planet, and yet they're afraid of being returned to their home countries to either be tried or face what they fear is persecution.
Well, I guess then we're not so notorious.
There may be other less well-known notorious places in the world.
That's right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. And as this policy goes ahead, any estimate on how long between the time of the order from the new president until Guantanamo Bay actually closes its gates?
Yeah, it depends exactly what they do. Everybody seems to think that a year feels about right, and it depends how they're going to try them. If they need legislation, as you know, that takes time to push through, how to get rid of these groups, where they're going to place them, if they're going to have to build a new prison, if they're going to find, all of these things come in. The head of detainee affairs that I spoke with, she was saying if it's fast-tracked, you're looking at months. She was saying, but probably more likely a year, if not years.
NPR's Jackie Northam, it looks like you're going to be on this beat for a while.
Yes, thank you.
Jackie Northam with us here in Studio 3A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.